Welcome to the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. All the information you need to make the most of your fantasy football league with just a touch of sarcasm to keep you from taking yourself too seriously. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this latest episode of the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. It's Saturday, June 22nd, 2 days after your wife's birthday.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
A day before the most glorious day in my life, my wedding anniversary.
The happiest day of your
life. Happiest day of my life.
Is it bad to get your wife WeatherTech floor car mats?
I don't know. I got them for my wife for Christmas when she got her new car. She loves them.
My wife, yeah.
She this is the best gift. In fact, I had them wrapped and everything. She knew what they were.
I didn't wrap them. I did the old, I forgot shit in the back of my truck. Let's go get it. And then I opened the truck
like
up.
Like when you were a kid? Oh, there's one present in the bedroom yet.
Yeah, exactly.
No, she loves them, and it was her favorite gift at Christmas one year. I had them wrapped, and she knew what they were. I'm like, how do you know what this is? Those are my mats for my car. Oh, my God.
They are nice.
Oh, I love them.
We'll give a free plug to WeatherTech.
Free plug to WeatherTech. I think they're Maine, Wisconsin.
Are they really?
I think so. Wisconsin or Indiana. I'm not positive about that, but they're made somewhere close.
I like to support the locals.
So there you go. We're here in the Dr. Pepper Man Room. Like I said, it's Saturday. Are other things going on if you're in town? We have the Great Lakes, the Art Festival on the Lake, by the Milwaukee Art Museum, the Milwaukee Arts Festival.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
So, we got Brewer game.
Brewers
are sucking.
Well, yeah, but, that's the Brewers.
They always go through a slide.
Yes. Always go through a slide. Always horrible.
Oh, my gosh.
And then what else do we have? That might be about it. It's almost summer. In between the raindrops.
A couple more days.
But we have something this week, and we might as well get to that first because it's not really news. It's not really we're going to be doing our top running back from each team in fantasy football.
Yep.
And we have a fantasy girl this week. You, I'm going to say, will get two of the measurements wrong. How's that?
Is that going to be our new?
Well, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
First off, I need to know.
It's not a bold prediction.
Is it? Okay. Is she a model? Or is she like a.
She's more of a TV host than a model, but she's done both.
Okay.
And she's not blonde.
Is she Colin Kaepernick's girlfriend?
What? No. God, no. I will do nothing.
I've been seeing her more and more, and I'm hating it more and more.
Does she look like a gangster? Because I know she's a what do you call it? What's the word?
She's on Talk Soup.
She's a radical.
Yes. She's on Talk Soup. She does a lot of MTV
stuff.
Yes. There you go. That sounds better.
Get the levels right, Dave. So anyways, we have a phone call. And it's not really a fan line phone call, although it came in on the fan line. It's
right.
From our executive producer. Apparently, we had a couple mistakes we made last podcast.
Yeah, and I think I have some disagreements with.
I have disagreements too. Not necessarily with Wayne.
No.
But with some of the stuff he referenced.
Yeah, because I feel like I was misrepresented.
Ooh, soft?
Yeah. Because I don't even remember that. I don't see. That's the thing, Wayne. You should know me. I had a stroke. I don't remember things half the shit I say.
Yeah, he called your pick of the Packers not making the playoffs soft. Which I didn't. I was.
Why is that soft?
Because I think it was more that you couldn't make a decision because you started with I want them to be there, but I'm going to predict that they won't be there.
Wait, well, why is that soft? I'm a Packer fan.
You know what it sounds like? You sound like the Bleacher Report guy that he referenced.
Right, exactly.
But we're jumping the gun. We're getting to this ahead of time. Here's the phone call, everybody.
Hello, No one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Dave and Dan, my favorite cheddar talking heads. Hey, it's Sneaky Pete here, calling you from somewhere in the Appalachian Mountains. Wanted to go over a couple things from last week's show just to make sure everything's on the up and up. Give you a couple nuggets, as it were. Get a candy bar, kick back, take it easy. You're not yourself when you're hungry, and you don't want to have any regrets. So here we go. Dave, the bandwagon's full. You want the Cleveland Browns making the playoffs as a bold prediction. Not a bold prediction. Check out Vegas. Check out ESPN, Yahoo, NBC Sports. You'll find plenty of people all over the Browns. Not a bold prediction. The Browns are even money to make the playoffs. They're right behind the Bears at minus 110 and right ahead of the Cowboys at plus 105. They're 7-5 to win their division, 16-1 to win the Super Bowl, and their over-under for 2019 is 9 wins. Dan, soft. Your prediction on the Green Bay Packers not making the playoffs. What is it, Flippy Floppy? One way or the other, pick away. Either way, soft. Next, MVI, I got a P. Not a math whiz. Half or three quarters of a beer. Come on, guys. Three quarters of a beer is 6/8. Half of 6/8 is 3/8. 3/8 equals 0.375. 0.375 times 12 ounces in a standard beer equals 4.5 ounces. So that means Aaron Rodgers cannot slam 8 ounces of beer because his gag reflex activates after 4.5 ounces. Proof. You mentioned the San Francisco quarterbacks got all busted up last year, including Mr. Squishy, Jimmy GQ, tore his ACL. Guy can't stay on the field. May look good, don't play good. His backup, C.J. Beathard, and guess who you were looking for, hurt his wrist. Make way for Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins, there's a guy you want on the end of your bench this year. He's going to be the guy driving the San Francisco train, or should we say trolley. L.A. Rams, is Malcolm Brown on the L.A. Rams bench? You bet he is. The Lions tried to snipe him. The Rams matched their two-year, $3.3 million offer because the girly man can't stay on the field. So that means we need somebody that's big and tough and can run in between the tackles. That's Malcolm Brown, not Daryl Henderson. Okay, little parlay here. Start over league, not a thing. That's a common name for a startup league. Once you've established a startup league, it's called a redraft league. Start over, not a thing. Last thing we talked about, Hetero Fest and the Hetero Flag. I sent you links to all that stuff. If you want to share it with the guys, it's up to you. I can't get involved. Got a little thing going on the side with the LGBT community. Don't want to stir up any more things. Hey, you guys have a really good week. I'll talk to you next week. Keep it on the straight and narrow, and I won't have to call you back.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
So that's the call. And again, we're going to leave this open to everybody. Feel free to use the fan line, 414-520-8249. Leave us a message. We'll play it on the air. Send us a text. We'll read it on the air. You can email us, cffpodcast@hotmail.com or dan@strap1971@yahoo.com. We'll read your emails on the air.
You threw me off there a little bit.
I'm sorry. That's you were okay. Cleaning your glasses. That's right. You didn't have your notes in front of you. We'll read your emails on the air. We don't care. Be happy. Be good. Be nice. Be mean. Be whatever you want to be. Be ridicule us. We don't care.
God, I'm used to that.
Yeah, we're married.
That's right.
But back to Wayne's telephone call. There's a few things I have to take, not necessarily umbrage, but I have concerns about. And the first one is calling my picks of the Browns in the playoffs not a bold prediction. I disagree.
I do too.
I mean, he used He used betting odds, and he used Vegas odds makers.
Well, he is totally like you in that aspect. He wants to prove his point that, yeah.
But
his numbers work for him when they need to.
When they need to? Right. Stats. I could turn, because I use stats.
Right, you're going to use stats, right?
I'm going to name all kinds of stats. But, I mean, you know and I know that odds makers are shysters. And they make those odds as friendly to themselves as possible so that they don't have to pay anybody. That's their goal, is to get money from. And you will also notice that they only make an offer to you on the Browns making the playoffs. You can't say the Browns won't make the playoffs. The only pick you get in Vegas is the Browns make the playoffs. Right?
Right.
You're going to have to go to some obscure betting places. Like we went to that, I found that one on Bovada.com where you could pick like Browns make the playoffs, yes or no, and there was a payoff for both, which what we did. We went through the picks. Or, you know, the other thing, you know, my most hated gambling site ever, DraftKings, who when they first started said we're not a gambling site, but now you can gamble on their site. They have the same thing too. You can say yes or no that a team makes the playoffs. Whereas in Vegas, it's only Browns to make the playoffs minus one, whatever the hell it is, or four to one, or whatever Wayne said, even money, I think is what he said. So they make these odds, whatever they can to make themselves look good and to make it so that they can pay off as few people as possible either way. But here's the facts that matter. The Browns haven't had a winning season since 2007. Is that somebody you would pick to make the playoffs?
No.
And that's not, and we got to mention too that they had 2 years where they were combined 1-31. Right?
Right.
The last time they were in the playoffs, this is a little stuff for you. See if you can pick the year. Nickelback had a number one song. George W. Bush was in his second year as president, and gas cost $1.61 a gallon. Butch Davis was their head coach, and Tim Couch was their quarterback. Year.
Ooh. Boy, I'm not good with years.
2002 was the last year the Browns have been in the playoffs. And since they, you know, they kind of shut down and went to Baltimore.
Right.
Since the time that they've been back in Cleveland, they have never won a playoff game. So with that factual information, that's not.
2002, what? How far did they go in the playoffs?
They lost in the first round.
Oh.
They haven't won a game since they came back to Cleveland. So with that factual information for you, there's no way that you can say that someone saying the Browns will make the playoffs is not a bold prediction. You have to go with history. A non-bold prediction would be saying the Browns aren't going anywhere.
Right.
Because they haven't before. Right?
I think there's a I just started looking at the schedule.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be at best in the first 4 weeks, at best 1-3.
In the first 4 weeks, 1-3. That would be a bold prediction. Right?
Well, you want to go, I mean, let's, they play Tennessee the first week.
Okay, that's a toss-up.
That's a toss-up. I could argue Tennessee's going to have a healthy quarterback finally, so they could.
Well, they always have a healthy quarterback at the beginning of the season.
Right, right. Week two. Okay. Week two, they play Jets. And
well, that's a toss-up.
That's a toss-up. I actually like the Jets better. Week three, they play the Super Bowl losers, the Rams.
That's a loss.
Week four, they play their arch rivals, Baltimore Ravens.
Ooh, that's a toss-up. So you're 1-3, bold prediction.
Do you think that?
Absolutely.
I mean, let's keep going.
Because their over-under on wins is
was
9.
Yeah. Which I think doesn't get you in the playoffs, so. Well,
it might in the AFC, whatever, they're in North. Are they in North? I always get the AFC North and East mixed up.
Week five, they play the 49ers. Garoppolo healthy, probably a loss.
Toss up?
I'd say a loss.
Okay.
Seahawks, week 6.
Loss.
God, I don't know how they're going to win 9.
But see, and that's just the thing. So Vegas has them at over under 9. They want to make money on both sides of that.
Well, yeah.
So if they get 9 wins, everybody loses. So I love you, Wayne, but don't go quoting Vegas odds to me to make something a bold or not bold prediction.
Right, because I the reason why the Browns, everybody likes the Browns. I like the Browns when they got OBJ, even though I think he could be a hindrance to him than a help.
Yeah, because right. Did you hear what he said too this week?
No,
he said that. Being with the Giants stunted his mental and professional growth because it was the Giants, you know, that made him go and propose to a kicking net.
Right. And
act like a douchebag.
And then to go down to Florida or wherever he went.
Yeah, on the party boat.
Yeah, the week before.
The week before their
playoff game against the Packers. Against.
And as for the Packers.
Okay.
I'm going to assume that your pick is still considered a bold choice. Wayne just thought it was a soft choice.
I disagree.
Well,
I can't help my heart's with the Packers praying that they make the playoffs.
But you just think that
I just don't think they have the talent. I don't think their quarterback's in the right frame of mind. So I just don't think
you think that there's going to be troubles between him and the head coach.
Well, it seems like it's already started
with the audibles,
right?
Or I think that's going to progress as the offseason goes along.
And I think I've said this a long time ago too. Aaron is all about, he wants to have this persona of, I'm not going to explain this.
That's right. Take time.
He's, don't you agree that he seems like it's all about the perception of what
how he looks. Yes.
And he doesn't worry about just getting the shit done.
I think he wants it done the right way. I think he gets pissed off at little things not going the way that they're supposed to. We practice this over and over and over again. Do it right.
Right.
I think is his thing. Which, I mean, it's a little different for him because he's standing back in a pocket and everybody else has to do their thing.
Right.
Little thing goes wrong and it's a
but
domino
is that necessarily
thing.
The receiver's fault that something went wrong? I mean, maybe they got pushed out of their route.
Well, I think what happened last year, depending on who you believe, was it the receiver who said that he didn't want to run the route that Aaron said because
it wasn't what
head coach called something else.
Right. Right. Yep.
So he they don't know who they want to anger.
And before I get more people frustrated with me or hate me, which is cool, I don't think Aaron's too much about himself. Aaron's too much about his perception on how he's going to be liked or disliked he comes across.
But a great man once said, it's not arrogance if you're right.
But he's not right.
Somebody's got to be right, and he's the guy running the ball or running the play and calling the plays.
Yeah, but then there's the coach who actually really is calling the plays.
Coach ain't out there seeing what the man sees.
Okay, so once again, if he sees something, how come he still isn't completing a pass?
Guys are getting open.
He's not throwing the ball where they're supposed to, where they need to catch the ball, except for unless you're Jimmy Graham, who can't catch anything.
Oh, man.
It's not a shot, Dave.
I understand it's not a shot, but I think you see things. You see things as anything that happens, it's Aaron Rodgers' fault.
No, I want people to understand that there's a chance that it's Aaron Rodgers' fault.
See my fingers.
The problem with Packer fans, unlike me, who is a huge Packer fan,
yes,
I can also see that the greatness of your quarterback, because I went through it with Brett Favre, that not everything is everybody else's fault. It can't be the quarterback's fault. Trust me, I went through the time with Brett, I mean, throwing the interceptions, I all said, oh, the receiver screwed up or whatever. No, Brett threw a ball that he, A, panicked on and threw in a position where he shouldn't have.
Yeah. Okay. Move on.
Move on, please.
The next thing he brought up was Aaron Rodgers again.
Oh, Jesus.
And the beer chugging.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
Okay, I didn't know there was math in this goddamn show. First off.
Mom told me there wouldn't be any math. And then you go and throw in fractions? It like some science thing. He had me, okay, 3/4 of a beer. We're saying it was 3/4 full, right?
Right.
I understood the 6/8, and then he drank half of that, which is 3/8.
Right.
That I got.
Yeah.
When it got into like 4.3279 ounces,
then he
stuff,
went in ounces and
lost me.
I'm shocked like, he didn't go like leader.
So I'm not into science on this pod. This isn't a science podcast. This is football.
All I'm saying is the guy can't drink a beer. That's all I want. He pussed out. He did. The guy cannot drink a beer.
All right. And now to the Daryl Henderson, Malcolm Brown thing. I think this is a bold prediction. I believe Daryl Henderson is going to be more productive this season than Malcolm Brown. I wanted to see on the Dynasty League if he's got Malcolm Brown on his roster.
I can tell you. Oh. But what disappoints me, I'm a big John Kelly, praying that John Kelly is going to be the backup.
In Rams?
With the Rams. But it doesn't sound like he's going to make the team.
Yeah, but Daryl Henderson's that rookie they love.
Yeah, they loved John Kelly last year as a rookie.
Yeah. Wayne also then forwarded an email from the Bleacher Report with bold predictions for 2019. Now, I think we need to discuss the meaning of bold predictions. Just because you say something that goes against normal human logic doesn't make it bold. I think many of the predictions in the Bleacher Report are in there just as clickbait to get readers. Shall we look at a few?
Please.
David Johnson, the comeback player of the year. How can you be a comeback player of the year? I don't know what he's coming back from. He played 16 games last year and finished the season a mere 150-plus yards short of his rookie season high. The article says he's going to have a season like his rookie year. Okay, so he gets another 150 yards over 16 games. That's bold?
I don't think so.
Rams missed the playoffs. Now, this is just, I think, one of those clickbait items that gets the Ram fan trolling to, you know, comment on the predictions. I don't think even the author of that article believed that the Rams are going to miss the playoffs. He uses the evidence as the 49ers are getting back a potential franchise passer in Jimmy G, and that the Cardinals have a new approach, and Seattle still has a top five passer. Now, even with all that glaring, amazing evidence, the author of the article still doesn't say the Rams will miss the playoffs. He says the Rams could miss the playoffs. Well, no shit. I'll take that as a bold prediction because you can't be wrong.
Right.
That's like saying I could wake up tomorrow morning missing one of my fingers because I bit it off at night while dreaming that I was eating a hot dog.
Right.
Either way, I could be right. Probably won't be.
What are your predictions on the Rams? Do you have a prediction? No.
Well, not bold. I mean, bold. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, I think they're the best team in the NFC West.
Really?
Yeah. Who's better? The 49ers are not better than them. The Cardinals are not better than them.
Oh, in the West. Yeah. Okay. Seattle, I was thinking the NFC.
Close. Saying. I think they're the best team in the NFC West.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Steelers flop. That was another one.
Now, that's kind of a bold. Well, I guess I didn't read the whole article.
What are they going to? They lost Brown and Bell, and everyone else is older and slower. Of course. And again, he covers his bases. At the beginning, he uses the actual bold prediction that they're going to flop. But at the end of the article, the Steelers are just trending downward. Well, okay. I'll never have one wrong on those kind of bold predictions.
And I think I made the bold prediction last week that I think the Steelers are making the playoffs.
Yeah, you said. I think I put that in there.
I think they're a better team without Le'Veon and Antonio Brown.
Well, they're more team focused, I think, with all
right.
those two, and everything's a little more like they
cohesion.
Said, everything is more calm and right. everything is yeah. Next one, Derek Carr roars back to elite form. This is another one, kind of like the David Johnson thing. I looked at Carr's career stats from the last 3 years. They're all consistent with each other. You know, the writer says that he's got all these new weapons and he's going to slingshot back to 30 plus touchdowns. He has never thrown even 30 touchdowns. How can he get back there? And Josh Rosen makes the Cardinals look silly. It's another one. This one's going to be easy and short.
Okay.
Besides the point that I'm a Josh Rosen fan, long term.
Right.
Not right now. Right. Long term. Josh Rosen isn't going to make the Cardinals look silly. Kyler Murray is going to make the Cardinals look silly.
Right. I agree with you on that. Right. You did miss one, though. It was a...
Well, I kind of agree with that one.
With the Cincinnati?
Cincinnati. Well, yeah, I mean, but they're too. They could be... Like, yeah, no shit. The Packers could finish in last place in the NFC North.
Right. But you don't think it'd be a... It's not a bold prediction saying they're going to be the surprise of the AFC North?
No. Because, again, it's like them, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, who's down, and who's the other one?
So is it not a bold prediction on my part to say...
Indy?
I don't think Cincinnati's going to be... They're going to be in last place of the AFC North?
No, because they're always in last place.
No, they're not. Cleveland is.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, but this guy's saying they're going to be the surprise of the AFC North, which really... I didn't read the whole article. Did he say he's predicting them?
I didn't read it because I'm like, it's Cincinnati. Who cares?
Right.
They got ugly uniforms, worse than Cleveland almost. So you're going to say that Cincinnati finishes last in the AFC North?
Yes. But I don't think that's a bold prediction, though. Because isn't everybody saying the AFC?
I have to go look and see what Vegas has for their wins.
Okay.
Win totals. Okay. I'm not even going to address the Lions one. But wow. They're going to be the big breakout team?
That's
a bold prediction.
That's a bold prediction.
But I mean, it's just stupid.
Because how are they not?
That's like saying the Arizona Cardinals are going to win the Super Bowl this year. Wow.
See, that's what I... With this guy, this article, I don't understand because, granted, Golden Tate is not Antonio Brown, but arguably Detroit lost their best wide receiver.
Right. Yeah. A bunch of them.
And
Jones is gone?
I thought Jones was still there.
Oh, still. He was hurt last year.
Right.
But yeah, they lost Golden Tate. They got, who's the, because they had that all listed in there about all the players they lost. I'm like, so you're admitting that they lost all this talent, but
right.
they're going to be the surprise? Like, he's just contradicting himself the whole time.
And we can argue that Ben Roethlisberger is a better quarterback than Matthew Stafford. So
yeah, even though Stafford played with a broken back last year.
True. Whatever.
Whoa.
I love how all these guys...
all of a sudden, I had a broken back.
Yeah. Aaron's got a broken leg or whatever.
And finally, Patrick Mahomes will throw less than 35 touchdowns. Now, this is just... stupid talking, right? He uses as evidence that the AFC West isn't a cakewalk. It wasn't a cakewalk last year either.
Right.
San Diego was still really good. Who else? I got Denver. Although no quarterback, they were still competitive. Who's the other AFC West? Houston?
Oakland.
Oakland is going to be better this year, I would assume.
I would hope so.
It can't be worse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not a cakewalk, but, I mean, they weren't last year. And last year he threw for 50 touchdowns. Teams are the same, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm still not a huge Patrick Mahomes.
Long-term or even this year?
I think long-term. I think, once again, when he finally gets paid is going to be the downslide of Patrick Mahomes because he's not going to have the talent around him because they can't afford to have the talent around him.
So that's it. A little thing on bold predictions for you.
And I first want to say, too, though.
Yes.
Because I love all the articles that Wayne sends.
Yes.
So please, Wayne, keep sending them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this isn't anything against right. our executive producer.
Right.
It's just don't piss on my leg and try and tell me it's raining. Or however that saying goes.
Oh, we'll hear back but that, on that one, though.
But that's that's one of our fan line. We're going to make it a fan line call this week, but we may have to make our own little executive producer segment.
Yeah, that's right.
Where you can just like our correct our little errors that we make. Because we make a lot.
Well, I do. You don't because you're you well, only get
no,
one.
No, I make errors because I did the
yeah, but you're
whole
only allowed one error,
league.
I thought, a year.
One error a year, yes.
Right.
But I'm I think I made it last week with the whole start over league, apparently.
Well, that was another thing. So we used the wrong terminology?
Only because I couldn't think fast enough because I was I used to chew on windowsills when I was a kid. Lead paint. And I think it hurt my short-term, long-term cognitive memory
there
or whatever.
You go. There you yeah.
All right. So there's you can send us a little fan line phone call. Like I said, 414-520-8249. Also, don't forget the website, mycffl.com. Mycffl.com. Everything we talk about today, we're going to be getting into the news right now. All the news links are up there on the website. We have all our picks that we made in gambling are up there on the website. We have the Fantasy Girl up there on the website. Also, the links to get this podcast, even though you're already listening to it, let your friends know. Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Podcast Republic, iTunes, Google, any place else you get all your podcast information from. Subscribe, like us, give us a 5-star rating, leave a comment, do what you want to do. One thing I also forgot to talk about, with the season starting up, we're going to have to come up with a Beat the Host segment because we're going to have a great prize this year.
What's that?
I think we're going to go ahead with the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast baseball caps.
Nice.
And rather than sitting on them waiting for a winner, I think we're just going to give them out to everybody that plays. Boom.
Perfect. Let's
Boom.
Do it.
That way we get some advertising out there and some free pub. And I won't have boxes of crap sitting in my basement all the time.
And your wife.
Like I have koozies for cans and bottles.
Like your wife is complaining about now.
I'm just driving down the road, throwing them out the car window. I'm like, here, somebody take these. So, you ready for the news?
Let's.
Here we go. He wouldn't say why he rejected your trade offer. But, you know, that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably too many players to think about.
Is that what you think it is?
Could
I made
be.
It complicated too many. Because this guy, the reason why I tried to make an offer with this
yes.
guy, he just completed a trade like an hour or two before I made the offer.
Okay.
So I thought he was in, he was in
all
the mode.
Greased
yeah,
up.
He's all greased up. He's in the mode to trade.
It's time for the news, everybody. Like I said, the links are all up on the website, mycffl.com. And we're going to start with this one because it's not really fantasy football related, but it's funny. Well, not funny. It's disturbing.
Okay.
And funny.
And funny.
Former first-round draft pick and all-around douchebag tight end, Kellen Winslow Jr., also known as now
the
Kellen Winslow II, has been convicted of raping a 58-year-old homeless woman. Last year in northern San Diego, he's in line for a life sentence. Not to mention, well, the verdict came in on the rape count, but the jury is continuing to deliberate on two more counts of rape involving a hitchhiker and an unconscious teenage girl. And if that isn't bad enough for the guy, he was also found guilty of indecent exposure and lewd conduct, but was found not guilty of one count of lewd acts. Now, I update on this is that all those other counts have been resulted in a hung jury
right.
or a mistrial, and they're going to have to retry them on those.
And they think they are going to retry them. Yeah.
So, the lewd act, which he was found not guilty on, apparently happened in front of a 77-year-old woman in a hot tub in Carlsbad, California. Now, even with all this, Kellen Winslow denied the acts, regardless of the fact that there was DNA evidence on one of the women's clothes and GPS locations placing him where the women said the assaults happened. And after the details of these cases were released, an article was written about Kellen's football history that went back to his days in college. You ready for this history?
Oh, God, no.
It includes the following. Reports of him being a chronic masturbator and hardcore pornography enthusiast. Reports that he would take a portable DVD player on the road trips with him and watch hardcore porn on the plane. Now, this is obviously before the days of smartphones with Wi-Fi access.
Right, right.
So,
oh my God.
On top of the portable DVD player, he had to carry his collection of Spank DVDs with him to play.
Wow.
Equipment managers that would deliver items to the locker room often reported walking into the locker room only to see Kellen Winslow Jr. rubbing one out as they
no
as,
way.
As they say in the hood.
Oh, my Lord.
Teammates would ask to not be put in the same room with him on road trips because he would have no qualms about sitting up at night after curfew, playing with himself right out there in open and think nothing of it. And finally, the best one. When he was traded to Tampa Bay, it was reported that he purchased a full-size silicone torso, complete with front and rear entrances.
Well, you need both.
And that he would take it on the road trips with him in a big bag.
But wouldn't pull it out.
I don't know.
My God.
So it looks like we have a new tight end to replace the now dead Aaron Hernandez on our all-criminal Pro Bowl football team.
Yeah, but he sucked.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's
an all-time wow.
This is the top-of-the-line deviant. Raping a 58-year-old woman, playing with yourself in front of a 77-year-old woman in a hot tub.
And then a teenager.
A teenage unconscious. We haven't found out if he's guilty of those
well,
yet.
Well, no. That's
innocent until proven guilty of
right.
those.
But that's a pretty big span of ages. I mean, are you...
He doesn't discriminate.
Obviously.
He's...
God.
All right, next. Could there be some bad news down the road when the season starts for Le'Veon Bell? The Jets have brought back Bilal Powell, who is expected to be named the number two running back in New York. The reason I ask about this being bad news for Le'Veon is because of the Jets' historic horrible ball rusher usage. And is this move going to frustrate a Le'Veon Bell come the start of the season?
Well, it would frustrate him if for some reason the Jets think Bilal Powell would
be better than Le'Veon?
Would take any of the snaps away from Le'Veon. I mean, if you have Le'Veon Bell on your team, how you're not running left, running right, and then running up the middle.
On three downs,
More
fun news out of New York camps. Reports are that Daniel Jones has outplayed Eli Manning during the team's most recent mini camps, and it wasn't even close. Now, Bleacher Reports, Mike Tannier says Jones was sharper, more accurate, and more willing to challenge a defense with difficult down-the-field throws. You shouldn't get too excited about this, though, right?
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, they're obviously committed to Eli Manning.
For this year.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is a situation that is going to be interesting for the upcoming training camp.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins. He's expected to be 100% healthy for the start of training camp in Houston. Hopkins spent a lot of time last season with injuries, most recently an ankle injury from the offseason. Hopkins even played through a torn ligament during the Colts playoff game last year, refusing to be taken out of the game. Now, that's a man.
Yeah.
With all the injuries in his past and present, Hopkins is still considered a wide receiver two in most fantasy publications, making him the seventh player to be taken from the board in most 12-team drafts. Would you take him that high?
At what pick?
Number 7-ish. Ooh. In a 12-team league.
Ooh.
And number seven, would you be saying DeAndre Hopkins?
Seven seems a little high, but I would say easily top 12. I mean,
on the reach around, maybe a 12, 13?
For argument's sake, I would go maybe top 10.
Yeah.
Okay. So is it a bold prediction that I would say I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to be top, well, I guess it's not really a bold prediction if I think he's going to be a top three, top two wide receiver.
Well, if you're going to say top two, I would make that a bold. Top two is pretty tough. And you got Julio Jones, you have Devontae Adams, you have OBJ, you have Antonio Brown.
But with these injuries, I'm good. I don't want to put too many bold predictions and get killed by the executive producer.
Oh, man. Marlon Mack is viewed as the team's workhorse by head coach of the Colts, Frank Reich. The team is going to need to keep him healthy for this to be the case. Mack was having the best season of his career in 2018 before going down with an injury. And this year, of course, Mack will be sharing time with a receiving back as well as a very capable number three, which is causing Mack to fall to the third or fourth rounds in most 12-team drafts.
Ooh, I don't know if I'd let him fall to the fourth round.
No?
I'd take Mack late second, early third.
Yeah. You can have him.
You don't?
I'd have to... I haven't done a lot of research on my drafting things for this year yet.
Okay.
We're going to hold off. I had a lot of work to do getting the top 32 running backs from each team ranked. I should look and see where I have. We'll find out shortly. Okay. A little tease. Speaking of running backs with questions on their team, LeSean McCoy, if you ask him, he expects to be having a big-time season this year. In an interview, McCoy said, "I'm a type of guy, I thrive off of having a big name, so when guys come to my team, they're curious to see, how is LeSean McCoy? Is he still a good player? I mean, I'm a dominant player, I think that speaks for itself. But I'll be in the same role as last year, and I look forward to putting up some numbers and bouncing back from the last season." Where do you stand on McCoy this year?
I think I have a bold prediction out on McCoy as not making the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, that's right. You said he would be cut.
Well, they have to cut somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And why carry his, unless there's...
$6.5 million price tag hanging on LeSean McCoy this year.
But
if they keep him.
If they keep him. But if they cut him, does that drop? I mean,
well, they must get something of that back. Otherwise, why would they? Why would they worry about the six point five million?
Personally, I would say I would not want LeSean McCoy on my team, so I would cut that $6 million off my cap.
So you got that. You have his age. He's 31 years old,
right?
And you have the fact that their offensive line is still considered under construction,
right?
So,
and don't forget he either hired somebody or.
To beat up his girlfriend?
Yeah, to beat up his girlfriend. I mean, who wants... I mean,
you that's know all that's, speculation, though.
I know, that, yeah. But that's going to come back up. And why do you want that headache?
And then you got the champagne room in the club or whatever it was that the beatdown.
Oh, yeah, the beatdown of the cop. Yeah. Right? Wasn't it a cop or something?
Yeah. Oh, what a year.
I'm sticking my bold prediction. I think they're going to cut him.
All right. New Cowboys receiver Randall Cobb has reportedly created a quick connection with his new quarterback, Dak Prescott. And the Cowboys believe that he is undoubtedly a huge addition to the offense in 2019. Thoughts are that Cobb will likely push Allen Hurns to the bench, assuming he can stay at full strength and speed. And if he can stay healthy for the full season, Randall Cobb is someone that fantasy owners might need to have on their list as someone to watch for big things.
What do you think?
I have him on my dynasty league, so I'm hoping this is all right. But right. I just wonder if this is all preseason hype. I did see him in the Packers.
Yeah,
with a better quarterback than Dak Prescott.
A much better quarterback than Dak Prescott.
Yeah, last year was not a good year.
last year? How about the year before or the year before?
Well, what was the year when, yeah.
I don't know. I'm a huge Kyle
plus
fan,
he's had some pretty big injuries too.
Yeah, he can't stay healthy.
He's old man.
He looks old, but he's not an old man.
Well, when was his rookie year, wasn't it, when we went to Indianapolis for the Super Bowl party thing?
Yeah, I don't think he's
Or did you just bought his Kentucky helmet?
I just bought his Kentucky helmet.
That wasn't his rookie year.
No, I think it was his rookie year. But when was how long ago has that been?
Oh my God. It was the Patriots and the who? The team that beat us. Atlanta? No.
No.
Yeah. Anyway. New rookie running back in Washington, Bryce Love, is expected to end up on the PUP list this year to start training camp. He was drafted by Washington in the fourth round mainly due to concerns about his knee injury and that it could cause him to miss much, if not all, of his rookie season. The Redskins, however, are optimistic, to put it best, that he is going to be ready by mid-training camp. I am not a Bryce Love fan. Went to Stanford. He was always hurt there. Played through injuries, which I think didn't help him at all. And I think he's going to not be a durable guy in the NFL. More on rookie running backs. Not more on rookie running backs, but more on rookie running backs. The Philadelphia Eagles have made comments saying that they expect to take it slow with their new backfield runner, Miles Sanders. Sanders missed all of the OTAs and minicamp due to a hamstring injury. However, head coach Doug Peterson expects him to show up to training camp 100% healthy and ready to participate. With the acquisition of Jordan Howard in the offseason, the Eagles can afford to bring Sanders along slowly, correct?
I would agree.
I wouldn't expect too
Especially
much out
as
of
a
him.
Jordan Howard guy owner.
Oh, that's right. I wouldn't expect too much out of him until closer to the end of the regular season, correct? Quarterback for the Redskins, Alex Smith, who is still recovering from that gruesome injury last season, says that he still expects to play football. Do you think Alex Smith is going to play football ever again?
I don't think so, but I have nothing against Alex Smith. So
no,
I
don't either.
I hope.
I didn't think, what's his name, Bridgewater would play ever again.
And has he, though?
Well, he's on a team. He could play. He did play. He was brought into the game.
I think Alex Smith won't be anything more than a backup. If he does
like
play,
Bridgewater.
He's going to be Bridgewater.
That's the plan, Smith said. That's the plan. Steps. I've got to conquer some more steps before I get there. Learn to run again. That's not a good thing. If you got to learn to run again, that's a big one. I'm already throwing. I already feel like I'm throwing. Throwing is not a problem. I feel like I could throw, but dropping, moving around, all that kind of stuff, change of direction. Okay, so let me get this right. He still can't walk, but he doesn't have a problem throwing the football. First of all, he shouldn't have a problem throwing the football unless he is trying to throw with his broken leg. The big thing is that he still has to relearn how to run and walk. That's like the number one thing you got to do as a quarterback.
I would think
so. Or as
so.
Any player on the field.
Right.
What'd you find?
Oh, just Randall Cobb. I was going to say, but I was worried to say it because I know we have our EP checking us out. Randall Cobb looks like he's 40 years old.
Yes.
But he's only 20. He'll be 29 this
season. Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought at least mid-30s.
Nope.
Wow. Wow. So we're going to do this the same way we did last time with the quarterbacks. You want me to go through my list of running backs and you tell me if you agree or not?
Right.
All right, this is the fantasy running backs. One running back from each team, since obviously some of the top 32 would have been doubles for some certain teams. I just went with the top running back from each team, and I ranked them.
Well, I'll be curious on who you have as a starter for each team.
Well, we'll start with number 32. I just put down Buffalo running backs. It's truly sad that a team with two perennial all-star type running backs and one promising young running back show up at number 32 in a ranking situation. However, when you're completely unable to determine which one of the three guys is likely to be the starter, it's pretty clear why you're at number 32. Frank Gore, LeSean McCoy, TJ Yeldon. LeSean McCoy had a terrible year, and it looked like he hit the wall towards the end of the season. His carries dropped from 4 to 3.2 a game. His touchdowns fell to 3, and his targets fell from 77 to 20 in 2017 to 46. That's big.
That's big.
Frank Gore saw his yards decrease for the second straight year, but, I mean, he's an old man.
He's way older. He's like 2 or 3 years older than LeSean, right?
Although his yards per carry increased, he also carried the ball 100 times less than normal last year. And Yeldon may just be the guy that keeps one of the other two healthy by spelling them. So the number two guy either way.
Yep.
He's shown the ability to be both good rusher and pass catcher during his time in Jacksonville. Tampa Bay running backs, number 31, another one. Much like the situation in Buffalo, I don't even know who to pick as a possible starter.
Peyton Barber is the starter.
Maybe think that or Ronald Jones?
No, Peyton Barber.
Andre Ellington?
No, Peyton Barber.
Okay. Peyton Barber will be the man, 31, still.
31, no.
Ranking.
Oh, gosh, no.
Higher?
Higher.
No. Number 30, Darius Geis, Washington. I put Geis at 31 only because he's coming off the grueling injury from training camp last year that required some extra attention all offseason from the medical staff while he was rehabbing. I'm optimistic in his abilities, but just not sure what the ramifications from a torn ACL are going to mean to his strength and power.
And?
What?
That he's also on your team and you're
praying. Oh, he's on my team and I'm praying. Well, until I try and train him, but I can't get anybody to bite. Number 29, Rashad Penny, Seattle. Seahawks put a lot of expectation into Penny by drafting him in the first round last year. His rookie year was nothing to write home about. He suffered a broken finger in training camp and could never beat out a Mike Davis. Davis has gone to Chicago.
Right.
Carson offering nothing as far as pass-catching ability. Penny just might get the number one spot by default.
Yeah.
And that doesn't sound too promising for fantasy owners.
Right.
Number 28.
I'm still thinking about the Peyton Barber. We might have to have a rainbow,
bet on that one. Miles Sanders, Philadelphia. Sanders was the second running back taken in the draft this year behind Josh Jacobs.
Why is everybody taking him over Jordan Howard? I mean, I'm arguing the situation because I obviously...
Well, and they also said Miles Sanders are going to take slowly.
I don't know how they're not going to be running Jordan Howard more than Miles Sanders.
Sanders spent much of his time watching Saquon Barkley at Penn State before becoming the starter there. He's going to be patient this year also, as he does eventually overtake Jordan Howard as the number one guy in Philly, even though he may start the season in a split-time situation.
Okay.
Number 27, Mike Davis, Chicago. When acquired from Seattle, Davis was projected to be the number one guy in Chicago with the departure of Jordan Howard to Philly. The Bears then selected David Montgomery in the third round of the draft. I like Davis to get the job at the beginning of the season, but I like Montgomery to supplant him midseason. And they still have the little joystick guy. What's his name?
Tariq Cohen.
Tariq Cohen, who's griping that he wants to do the same as he's been doing all the other seasons.
Right.
And they're not letting him. I can't place Davis because of that any higher than 27. 26, Kenyon Drake, Miami. Drake should have a huge season for the Dolphins last year, but head coach Adam Gase just never seemed to want to lean on him as the number one guy. He dropped in every stat category last year while basically becoming a change of pace back. And that's going to change this year under a new head coach. And the only thing that could hold him back is the fact that teams will likely be stacking the box due to the question marks at quarterback.
Right.
Number 25, Lamar Miller, Houston. Shockingly, Lamar Miller has only missed two games since 2013. I didn't even believe that when I read that. Deonta Foreman in perpetual injury situations. And the Houston Texans passing on a marquee running back in the draft. Miller's obviously going to be the first option in Houston behind, of course, the quarterback. 24, Philip Lindsay of Denver. Yes, he had a remarkable season last year, but I am not sold. He's still rehabbing a wrist injury that required surgery, and the word out of Denver is that he will not even be ready for practice until August. I like Royce Freeman getting more opportunities this year in Denver. 23, Tevin Coleman, 49ers. He averaged 5 yards per touch in his time in Atlanta. Things should be a little bit different in Frisco. The backfield for the 49ers is crowded, and Coleman is going to have to stand out quite a bit in order to get a consistent role with the team. If everything goes good with the injury situation with the other running backs, I like Coleman to be in another rotational situation like he has been with Atlanta.
Yeah, I could see that.
Really? Woohoo! Number 22, another guy I have. Kerryon Johnson, Detroit. He found himself on the IR list for the Lions last year, costing him 6 games with a knee injury. However, as a rookie for Detroit, he was one of the few bright spots on the team, averaging 5 yards per carry, which is quite impressive, considering he was splitting time with LeGarrette Blount prior to the injury.
Right. I think Kerryon Johnson could be higher.
Could be?
Yes.
Ahead of Leonard Fournette of Jacksonville at number 21?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a Fournette fan. I'm curious what you think about
it. I was surprised that he even played last year. I didn't even remember that.
He played most of the year. I mean, the only reason, I think he only got injured one game, and then he got suspended or not suspended.
Yeah. Well, he was only available for the Jaguars for 2 of the first 9 weeks of the season because of the suspension, right?
Right.
Over the rest of the season, he did seem to turn his performance around, even though he continues to be dogged with the thought that he is not committed while on the field. I like Fournette to show a little more of what was expected from him as a rookie out of LSU, but I fear that once again I'm going to be disappointed by a lack of performance, making it highly unlikely that I will take him in any of my drafts, unless, of course,
he's available.
He's there long after he shouldn't be. Number 20, Derrick Henry of Tennessee. As you likely remember, Henry scored 7 touchdowns and 522 yards in weeks 14 through 16 last season. He should be the outright number one guy in Tennessee this year,
yep,
especially after Vrabel called Deion Lewis the complement to Henry at running back. Number 19, Josh Jacobs of Oakland.
Wow.
Clearly the number one rookie coming into training camp from this year's crop of draftees. Undoubtedly going to step into the number one spot from day one. Jacobs, yet another big-time running back from Alabama. I was going to try and list them all, but there's a lot.
Oh, yeah. There's.
Oh, my God. Remember how Miami was like tight end university?
Yep, and Alabama.
Man. You should have much of the same impact as the other guys that were drafted out of Bama, I would think.
But see, this is where I've said in the past, when somebody's supposed to be like the no-brainer starting running back,
they end up crapping the bed?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Which is why they brought back, who's the guy they had last year that they?
Jalen
Richard?
Richard or Ricard or whatever.
Number 18, Devonta Freeman from Atlanta. He missed all but 2 games last year due to a groin injury. Prior to the injury, he had proven himself to be one of the best two-way running backs in the league. With Coleman now in Frisco, the number one spot is clearly Freeman's, with a time spell coming from Ito Smith. Number 17, I have Mark Ingram from Baltimore. He left New Orleans to be the number one guy in Baltimore, and he left a committee spot to have a chance to be the top guy someplace else. He isn't known for being a great pass catcher. However, he has yet to record less than 27 catches in a season.
I'd say he catches the ball.
Yeah.
He caught the ball a lot in Saints.
You got a quarterback that can throw you the ball?
You can be a pass catcher.
So we'll see this year. If Ingram can stay healthy, I see him as a surprise stud in the running back list this year.
Like what?
Top 12. No?
I he's got the dubage problem too, doesn't he?
Well, he was suspended last year for what?
Right.
Was it for PEDs or was it for drugs?
I thought it was drugs.
Oh. Yeah. So, Le'Veon Bell, LeGarrette Blount.
And another Alabama running back.
Yes. Sony Michel, New England, number 16. Assuming the Patriots get off their asses and actually name a starting running back, I think that this guy is going to be Michel.
They never name him.
No.
Just when you think you have the starting running back.
We have a running back.
We'll switch it to somebody else.
He did everything he was asked to last year as a rookie, and he went above and beyond what was expected of him. There's no reason why he shouldn't beat out the smaller James White as the number one guy. Number 15, Christian McCaffrey, Carolina. Seen the pictures of this guy all offseason. All right. Yes, he's muscled up.
He's an Adonis.
Not impressed.
Yeah.
Remember, lots of muscles do not mean more ability to perform and withstand injury. He has the tools as a passer, a pass catcher, and a rusher, but he's going to lose a lot of fantasy points to rookie Jordan Scarlett, in my opinion, who is poised to take the goal line carries from McCaffrey.
Right, and aren't defenses going to be more
focusing on him?
Right, because with
Cam Newton has changed his throwing arm motion.
Right.
Have you seen that?
With his shoulder problems.
Like a black Phillip Rivers. It's horrible. 14, Damian Williams, Kansas City. After the Chiefs cut Kareem Hunt last season, Williams filled in and scored 6 touchdowns in the last 4 weeks of the season. And that included 2 games of 100-plus yards. He's not viewed as a particularly creative rusher.
Right.
But proved to be trustworthy enough to be given the number one spot. And hopefully he can hold up for more than just 4 games.
I think you have him a little high.
Do you?
Yeah.
Here's where our little Indianapolis guy comes in. 13, Marlon Mack.
I think that's a good spot for him.
Missed 4 games last year and still finished just 5 carries short of 200. He also rushed for 10 touchdowns. I expect the same type of rushing that he had last year, even with Nyheim Hines as the 1-2 punch in the backfield. I like Mack to produce even better numbers this year for fantasy owners. Number 12, your man, Aaron Jones of Green Bay.
Really?
As you remember from the last episode of this podcast, Jones showed up to OTAs with significantly less body fat while maintaining the same body weight.
See, that scares me a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's tightening up a little bit, and that's mean things are going to
be bruised all the time.
Well, I think things are going to start snapping.
Nothing to protect that muscle. He proved last year that he deserves to be the Packers' number one guy, even though new head coach Mike LaFleur said that Jones and Jamal Williams will likely share the carries for the team this year. Aaron Jones will likely be drafted in most leagues as the number 2 back, but has the upside to end the season as a top 10 running back in fantasy football. Agree?
As long as he stays healthy, yeah, I think he's easily a top 10 running back.
Number 11, Dalvin Cook, Minnesota. Vikings have become the lead back type of team now that Latavius Murray is gone. Cook missed 5 games last season after missing 12 the year before with a torn ACL, and he has proven to be an explosive rusher with nice pass-catching abilities, even though he likes the dogfights.
I can't complain.
Number 10, James Conner, Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
With Le'Veon Bell crying and whining last season, Conner proved to be more than a capable lead back for the Steelers. He even impressed me after I was saying that I didn't think he could be a lead back after going through what he did with his cancer treatments.
Right.
He did miss 3 games with an ankle injury, so you'll need to show that he could be durable. It's very possible that he could end the season as top 5 running back.
I'm rooting for the guy. Yep. I like James Conner.
I like him. Number 9, Todd Gurley, Rams.
Wow.
Normally he would be higher on this list, but he proved last year he's just not capable of the weekly grind that is part of this game. I believe that knee is getting worse and worse for this guy. I also believe the Rams think the same thing, which is why they have already said that his carries will be cut significantly in hopes of keeping him fresh for the whole season. You read a report this week that said that he's got all kinds of arthritis problems in that thing?
Yep.
Not good.
Not good.
Number 8, Le'Veon Bell with the Jets.
Really? I'd think a little bit higher.
You really?
Yeah.
I think the big question is going to be, can he come back after a season of sitting on the sidelines and be as productive as he has been in the past? He refused to show up for voluntary minicamp with the Jets, showing that his attitude hasn't changed from last year.
Right.
And you need to be as critical as with Bell as we were with both Antonio Brown and OBJ, who also refused to show up to the OTAs with their team. This can't be a good start for Bell.
I think not showing up for OTAs are a little overblown.
If he was still with Pittsburgh. But with a new team, you're going to have all kinds of new stuff to learn, new guys to learn, how they block and how they do things. Yeah, you don't need to be there putting in 100%.
Right.
But you should be there making relationships.
Okay.
Right.
Maybe, yeah. you're that talented. I don't know.
Well, no, I'm not saying he's not talented, but he's got a bunch of new people he's working with.
True, but I mean, yeah.
I don't see him as a top-tier running back anymore, but should be at the lower end of the top 10, assuming the Jets offensive can open up holes on the line, same way Pittsburgh did. Number 7, Nick Chubb, Cleveland. With the desire of Duke Johnson wanting out of Cleveland, I like Nick Chubb a lot, and I think he's going to get a majority of the work in Cleveland. It doesn't look like Cleveland is going to trade Johnson. Regardless, I believe the number one spot is Cleveland's. In Cleveland is Chubb's to lose.
Chubb's definitely their starting running back.
Right. Number 6, David Johnson of Arizona. There has always been a lot of hype surrounding Johnson after his breakout season with Arizona. Last year, he was hyped as the high first-round pick, but ended up the season as the 10th best rusher. His best fantasy trait remains his ability to catch the ball, and will Kyler Murray be able to get it to him? Will new head coach Cliff Kingsbury even play into this mindset, knowing his offensive tendencies to go vertical downfield? It's going to be... I don't think he's going to get as many passes.
Well, I think completely the opposite.
Really?
I think he's going to get more passes because...
I just don't think it's the offensive mind game for Murray or Kingsbury.
Kingsbury.
But, hey.
I just... When you got that talent, I would think you'd want to get him the ball out
as much
space.
As you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Mixon, number 5, Cincinnati. Last year, his performance showed that he can be a 3-down back in his league.
I like me a Joe Mixon.
Yeah. And that ability relegated Giovanni Bernard to backup status. With the new head coach, the belief is that Mixon should at least match what he did last year, if not be even better. Right?
Right. Yep.
Number 4, Melvin Gordon, LA Chargers. He was a touchdown machine last year, scoring 14 touchdowns in just 12 games, which gives him 38 over his last 39 games. He's an outstanding receiver, making him a big focus for fantasy owners. He should continue to impress, even as the Chargers look to cut his workload with a bit, with deep backfield talent that they have over there.
Yep.
Number 3, Alvin Kamara, New Orleans. You thought I'd have him higher?
I was kind of assuming he'd be. Just because I know you're not a...
No, my last two guys, I'm not fans of at all.
I know, right. That's why I was shocked.
I mean, and the top 3 with, they're kind of a toss-up for me anyway. I can argue for any one of them being the number one guy.
I think you would pick Kamara.
If
you had a number one pick, I think you would probably...
I would take Kamara over the other two.
Right.
Absolutely. Even as a timeshare last season with Mark Ingram, Kamara showed he is still a remarkable pass catcher and runner. Kamara is well worth the premium pick it's going to take to get him on your team this year. And you're right, I would take him over the top two guys on here.
Kamara got screwed last year, I think, when Ingram came back from his suspension or whatever.
Wasn't he kind of getting... bottled up and slowed down a little bit too after being the number one guy and every down back.
It seemed like he didn't get the ball as much as he did.
Yeah, I think he was getting tired.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think he needs somebody back there to share time with.
Yeah, But you and I, this is where you and I disagree on the last three, I think.
Okay.
If I had the number one pick, I...
You're going to take number two, Ezekiel Elliott?
I think I would.
Of Dallas?
Yes.
He's only ahead of Kamara because of the offensive line that he runs behind. After a six-game suspension, Elliott averaged 98.3 yards rushing in the final 10 games of the season. The question with Elliott is, will his desire for a new contract interfere with his job on the field? And without that distraction, Elliott should compete for the top spot in fantasy rushing this year. Right?
Yeah.
Which puts number one, Saquon Barkley, New York Giants. Many pundits last year, including me, thought Saquon was a huge reach at number two overall for the Giants. It's going to be hard to continue with that thought as we enter the 2019 season. Barkley proved to be a difference maker last season, despite the fact that he's a Big Ten running back. And you know my feelings on that. Barkley's 2,028 yards led the NFL last season. Only Eric Dickerson and Edgerrin James had more yards as a rookie. I don't think it's foolish to say that Barkley is going to be the number one draft pick in practically every fantasy league this year. Correct?
He wouldn't be my number
one. No, you would take Ezekiel. I'd take Elvin.
I think
we're the only two.
I think I would take Zeke and then Elvin.
And
I
don't think Saquon?
Yeah, you got to imagine anybody that's taken Barkley has to realize defenses are going to,
Yeah, I mean, they don't have much. The quarterback's a question.
Right. They're going to do the...
Receivers aren't anything spectacular.
They're going to do like 10 men in the box. Again, I didn't want to go with the... I didn't want to go with the regular 8 men in the box.
One defensive back.
I just feel like they're just going to...
Because that's all they need.
Yeah. Because, and I don't think Manning's that good.
Well, weren't you saying a couple weeks ago that you would take Eli Manning? Or has that changed?
I don't know. Dave, I say a lot of things.
I know. That's what gets us in trouble.
Exactly.
It's time for the Fantasy Girl of the Week. You ready to go to the bar?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. We're back. We're in the club. It's that time. Dan has his Jack and Coke. I have my rum and pepper because we're in the Dr. Pepper Man Room. And it's time for the Fantasy Girl of the Week. You can check her out on the website, mycffl.com. It's our little excursion into manly stuff because we're not afraid of the PC police. We do what we want because we're men. Our Fantasy Girl this week, like I said, check her out on the website, mycffl.com, the Fantasy Girl page. It's Lana Taylor. She was born April 18th, 1987 in Sudbury, Ontario, Canada. She's a model and a TV show host for the cable television production of Get Out. That's where I found her. I was flipping through and I went to Access TV looking for a concert.
Right.
And they had Get Out on and it's... basically, a bunch of hot women going to all these exotic locations and telling you, hey, go boogie boarding here and do this. And we went cave spelunking and zip lining. And it was a little eye candy, fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
Lana started her modeling career at the age of 14. And years later, obviously, she was featured in Playboy magazine. She enjoys and practices boxing, karate, gymnastics, and ice hockey. She is currently married with two children. The French-Canadian model. You ready?
Yep.
She stands 5'5" tall. She weighs 115 pounds. You have your bell ready?
Yep.
She has brown hair and brown eyes. And her measurements are...
5'5". 115.
5'5" brown eyes. 115.
The brown eyes don't help me.
I know. But we have a stylist at the studio. I always ask her how tall she is. She goes, 5'5" brown eyes. Okay.
She's
obviously enhanced.
She's easily a I want to say a D cup.
Well, now she is. She's kind of like pushing things forward.
Yeah, but those are
5'5", 115.
I feel like you're helping me, so
I'm trying to.
I'm going
to
go.
I'm trying to help you.
34C.
Oh. 36C. 36C.
Do I get anything for the C?
Well, you could have one ding if you want. All right. Waist.
5'5", 115. I'm going to say 24.
24 is exactly right. Wow. Now you have to get this one wrong, otherwise I effed up. Hips.
Where is she from again?
Canada. So they eat a lot of poutine.
Poutine, okay.
Gravy and cheese curds and French fries?
I miss that.
Remember Costco? They had poutine at the Costco?
Did they?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Oh.
It's not like Canada's poutine, though, I'm telling you.
No, it was at the Costco in Canada when we went to the falls.
That's right. I remember. Sorry.
That's right.
35.
33. 36C, 24, 33. Lana Taylor, your fantasy girl of the week. And that's going to be it for the show. It was quick. I mean, not too bad this week. Not a lot of information on the fantasy girl. Not a lot to talk about. But she is a smoke show. Right?
God, she looks hippier than that.
So,
I am sick. You know, I do have a sinus infection.
I know. Well, so you're not at 100%.
I'm not at 100%.
But I was right. You were going to get 2 to 3 wrong. Woo! Finally. I could have made that a bold prediction.
36C, 24, 33.
So that's it for this week. Next podcast episode, we'll have the news and notes for you. We're going to go over the top receiver ranked for fantasy on each team. And we'll have another fantasy girl for Dan to think about. Hopefully, he'll be healthy.
So you're going to do your number one wide receiver?
Number one wide receiver on each team.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Until then, send us an email, cffpodcast@hotmail.com or Dan at
strap1971@yahoo.com.
Check out the website, mycffl.com. And don't forget the fan line, 414-520-8249. Talk, text, something. We'll read it or play it on the air. Until the next time, though, be good.
Bye-bye.